First off, I'd like to thank all of y'all that have been praying for us. And ones that have been praying for us know that we serve a God that answers prayer. And just recently He answered one of those prayers. Especially all of y'all that have been praying that the Lord would send somebody to work with me. Well, the Lord's been working on the heart of Roland and Spyla, and He's going to be sending them down to work with us. And you know, that's an answer to prayer. And we serve a great God who can answer and does answer prayer. And I'd like to read something here out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with first verse. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there's a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. To every purpose under heaven, there's a time. The Lord's made it where there's time for everything. Just put it in His perspective. Don't take it out of place. Don't spend all your time doing one thing only. Don't get sidetracked. There's a time for everything. We've gathered here together to consider several different matters, and the main one is missions. Going out and preaching the gospel and sending forth people to preach the gospel. There's a time to preach. Read just now, there's a time to speak. There's also a time to be silent. And if we look in the book of Acts, we find that there was a time to be sent, time to be separate from the brethren and go out. In Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find a group of brethren that were like elders in the church there. They were prophets and teachers. The Lord decided He was going to separate two of them from the five that were there and send them somewhere. Real quick, we'll read it. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manae, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. There's a time for sending out the brethren to preach the gospel. And Roland and Angie will be getting sent out. Maybe there's someone else that the Lord's working on you too. I don't know where He might be sending you. The brother just now that was speaking, he said a lot of things that have been on my heart also, Brother Norm. There's a time when the Lord's going to send you out. Maybe not just yet, but that time will come. If He's called you, He'll send you. Just as He said, separate me these two. And then they sent Him forth. And you know, I found that, just as we saw in Ecclesiastes, that it's kind of like a contradiction. There's a time for the one thing and a time for the opposite. Well, they got sent forth and there was a time to come back. And that was in chapter 14, verse 21. And it says, And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. That's where they came out of. And verse 26 says, And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Later on they were sent out again, but right here we see that they came back. And what did they do? They fulfilled the work that they were sent to do. And they came back, and what did they do? When the church was gathered together, just like we're gathered together here, they rehearsed what God had done with them. And that's something I'd like to share with y'all. I know last year I was here, and last year I told you some of what the Lord had done back then. And I'd just like to continue to share with you what the Lord has done this past year. I've been in Salamanca a little over a year now. And as many of you know, I left Lagos de Moreno. And from there, there was one brother who stayed. His name is Ruben Navarro. And he's still going on serving the Lord. And I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for him. Don't quit. He meets with the brethren in León, which is half an hour away from where he lives. So it's possible for him to fellowship with them. And that's what he does. I visit him on a irregular basis on Thursdays when he's going to be around. That's his day off. When he's around, I'll go visit him, fellowship with him, try and encourage him, go out preaching maybe. Not too long ago, we went out preaching to another town where some of the brethren that used to live in Lagos had moved to. And it's a small town, no church there, nothing. No believers, very Catholic. We went preaching in the street. People got a little bit irate with us and wanted to run us out of town. And they ended up throwing water on us. And we left rejoicing that we were able to suffer for the Lord. And You know, I don't know how to say it in English, but got a lot of desire to go back there and preach again. Not in the same street, another street, but to go back and preach there. Later on, I got to talking to the brethren that lived there, and they were saying that a lot of the people around that neighborhood were talking about what had happened, and it opened the door for them to give a witness to several people there. And that was an encouragement to me in that it wasn't in vain. Up until now, or up until then, nobody wanted to talk to them or even know anything about them, because the people that were there before claimed to have been Christians and left a terrible testimony. And they figured, if that's what Christians are, we don't want nothing to do with it. We're just fine where we're at. And it was a blessing to me to find out that it opened the door for them to witness to the people there. And the people have been seeing their testimony that it's not the same as the one that was there before them. And the rest of the time I've been there in Salamanca. Recently we moved to another house. The work had been kind of, in one aspect you could say, slow, but yet the Lord was blessing little by little. There's one man that I've been studying with since September, last September. He made a profession of faith. I still study with him, but yet he hasn't made a real commitment to come out. And different people like that, that just kind of don't know which way they're going to go, which way they'll fall if the wind blows. But just recently we moved to another house, and it was real depressing to me in that the house looked like it was fine the way it was when we moved into it, but little by little we noticed it had this problem and that problem and more problems than I knew what to do with. So I ended up spending more time fixing the house that would be livable, and it was getting very depressing to me that I was wasting so much time fixing a house instead of getting out preaching. And some of you know I'm a carpenter by trade, and I was making some kitchen cabinets for my wife, and I was thinking, man, this is very discouraging. It's very depressing just sitting here working and slaving away, trying to get it done so I can have some free time, and I know I can come back home and find some supper to eat or whatever, you know, because it's kind of hard to fix when you just got a total mess in your kitchen. But it was amazing what the Lord did in those days. Little by little, I noticed people would come by and stop in, start asking me questions, or just start talking to me, and all of a sudden the Lord just opened the door where I could witness to them and give them the gospel. And to me, that was just a real uplift. I don't know how many of you were praying for me in those days, but the Lord heard your prayers. Because just like the brother was saying, you know, there are times when you get discouraged. There are times when you feel like, what am I doing here? And you feel the real inadequacy of what you are and what you are doing. And it's only the Lord who carries you through. And when you realize, He is my sufficiency. It is not me, it is not you, it is Him, and no one else. And that's when you can keep going. And those days were to me, it was just so encouraging, I almost didn't know what to do. Just that, it was like several days in a row, somebody would show up in my shop, I heard from the neighbor over here that you're a Christian, I'd like to know how to study the Bible, you know? You what? You know, just totally knocked me off, you know, I wasn't expecting that for nothing. And then after finally I got that kitchen, it's not even done, but where it was usable. That's the best way to put it. And got back out on the street some, and there was this one street that I'd seen just on one of those days I was depressed and went riding my bicycle just looking around to see what was there. And it was a street that I had a burden to go preach at. There's just a lot of poor houses there, right behind a rich neighborhood, or semi-rich. And I wanted to go over there and witness to them. And one morning I took off to go witness to them, and I saw this old lady sitting on her porch, just sitting there. And as I passed, the Lord said, go back and witness to her. And my flesh said, no, she just saw you ride by. She thinks you're an idiot if you come back and say, you know, hi. But you know how the flesh is. Flesh doesn't want to be humiliated in any way. Doesn't want people thinking bad about it. But the Lord gave me the strength to go back. And I said, I'll just give her a track. I mean, you know, it won't be too bad. So I give her a track, and she's, oh, wow, I like to read about this kind of stuff. And you do, huh? So I got another chance, just another open door to witness to her. And as I was witnessing to her, she says, no wonder I got locked out of my house. God had prepared this way. And I was thinking in my mind, no wonder He told me to come back to you. And she had religion, but she didn't have Christ. I had asked her from the very start, where would you go if you die? And she said, I don't know. I hope I'd go to heaven, you know, but I got a lot of sin. You know? So I got to show her, you got to be born again. You got to have a spiritual body to enter into the heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And it was amazing the way the Lord was opening her eyes. And to me, I almost couldn't believe it. And then, as the devil is, you know, he'll always try and distract you and send something along. Her husband and her grandson finally show up, and, well, the door is open to the house. And this guy, he's religious also, and they're old. He's missing some teeth. I couldn't hardly understand him. Spanish is hard enough to understand without someone who's missing teeth. But it was hard to understand him. He was interrupting a lot, and then he was hard of hearing. So when I'd answer, he didn't really hear what I was saying. But like I said, the devil's always trying to disrupt, discourage, or distract. And one time the wife said, he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what you just read to me. And It was amazing. She was understanding what I was saying. She was seeing it. And later before I left, I asked her, where would you go if you died? She said, I'd go to heaven. Why? Because now I believe. And to me, that was such a refreshing. So it's such an encouragement. You know, here I was going to do something totally different. You know, I was going to go to another around the bush, man. I'm just going to go straight to him. I went straight to him, started witnessing to him. He let me talk, but he wasn't interested. And I figured, well, it's too late to go preach on the street I was going to. So I'll just go door knocking for a little while. I went door knocking, and the last house I went to was an old man, barely opened the door, barely walked around, and he says, come in. And I was thinking, man, I'm liable to catch something from you. You don't look healthy. You know, this is what my flesh is telling me. And the Spirit says, go in, give him the gospel. I went in, witnessed to him for a long time, or not too long, but for a good while. And I told him, if you want to know more, I can come back and I can just read you the Bible. That way you won't be ignorant of it. You'll know what it says. Because his eyesight was going, I suppose he still had his hearing, but he couldn't hardly speak. He couldn't hardly move. He was in pretty bad physical shape. When I walked out of there, my flesh was telling me, you're wasting your time with this guy. He's of no profit to you. He's not going to come to church because he can't. You're just wasting your time. The Spirit said, if he wants to hear, give it to him. Let him hear. And show some compassion, you know. One day you can be old too, you know, if I don't come back for you first. And so I made an appointment to go back with him the next week. I went back, and to my amazement, well, he was pretty sick. Each time I was thinking, I doubt he's going to be alive the next time I go. He didn't look very good health-wise. He's only 72, but he looked like he was 92 or 102. He didn't look very good at all. But I went back, and his wife was there, or at least I think it was his wife. She looked way younger than him. And she says, well, he's sick, pretty sick today. He's not doing very good. But I was listening to you a little bit the other day when you were here. What religion are you in? I got to witness to her. She had studied a lot with the Jehovah's Witnesses, or some, and she said he was really against it. And to my amazement, I was thinking, well, how is it possible if he's so against the Jehovah's Witness that he actually let me come in and talk to him? And I was thinking, it's the Lord's doing. And after a while, he came out, and I got to studying with him. I was showing him about being born again, that they needed to be born again, that religion wasn't sufficient. And he said, come back again next week. I wasn't expecting that either, but I went back again. And I went back several times studying the Bible with him. It was to my amazement, he started thanking me for coming. I got to thinking, this guy is probably just left. Nobody really cares about him anymore. And the Lord put a burden on my heart to care for him. And I kept going back. And one of the last, about probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe, I was reading John chapter 3 to him, and then going over it. And he asked me, well, how can I be born again? And I said, well, let's just look, see what it says right here. And I explained it to him, went through the chapter, and then I asked him, where would you go if you died? He said, I'd go to hell. I was shocked. You know, I wasn't expecting that, you know. Not too many people are that blunt. So I asked him why. And he says, because I ain't been born again like the Spirit, like it says there. I asked him, do you want to be? He says, yes. And he called on the Lord right there. And you know, I mean, he may never make it out of that house. He may never make it to a meeting on this earth. But there's one where he'll be. He's going to be in glory. You know, I'm talking with some old people right now. And you know, I'm glad that the Lord actually used me to win them. When I was first studying with this man, I was thinking, I've heard of other people winning old people to the Lord, but every old person I've ever come across that was Catholic like he is, didn't change, didn't want to hear, didn't want to change. They always said, go to the young people. They'll listen to you. Young people say, go to the old people. You know, wait till I'm old. But they'd always say, it's too late for me. I'm too old. And that was something that the devil was throwing at me too. But the Lord gave me the strength to keep going back to him. And praise the Lord, he's a brother now. He's my brother in the Lord. And I thank God for what he did in that old man. If that old man's still alive when I get back, I'll almost be amazed. I'm thankful that the Lord did something in him. Remind me of the song we just sang, number 2 there, that someone, some old man, he's out there and he's lost. His eyes are growing dim and he doesn't know where he's going. Remind me of that old man. His eyes, he's got one of them that's no good. He'd even tell me when I was studying with him, if I close my eyes, I'm not going to sleep. It's that they burn me too much, so I have to close them. I said, this man is not sleeping on me. He's got his mind still. The Lord has given him that much, and praise the Lord, he's been born again. And okay, well, let's go on to a little bit younger. Not too long ago, well, really quite a while back, some of the brethren came over for a campaign there in Salamanca, and there were some, we went street preaching, and there were some girls that were interested and said, come back to study the Bible. Well, the dates had got mixed up, and I went the wrong day and found out that they wanted me to go the day before, and they were waiting for me. Now, that was a shock in itself. People usually don't wait for me to come show up at a Bible study. But I made another appointment, and it didn't work out. And I was always talking to this girl's sister. And the last time I'd gone, she said, well, I'd like to study the Bible. Okay, I'll come back and study with you then. Each time I'd witness to her a little bit. And that time she said she wanted to study the Bible. And to my amazement, this whole family read the Bible. They were still pretty much Catholic, yet broke away because they saw too much corruption, too many, Well, just the idolatry of it all. You know, they didn't see the truth in it. So they had left it, but yet they were still Catholic because they didn't have nowhere else to go. About the best way to put it. And finally got together with the two girls. They're teenagers. And got to study in the Bible. Their younger sister would show up and sit in. Very quiet, never say a word. I'd even try and talk to her and ask her. She wouldn't answer any questions. And they got saved. All three of them now, really. But it was very shocking. This is totally different what I'm accustomed to in Lagos de Moreno. I mean, the father told the girls that if they're going to keep studying the Bible with us, they're going to have to go to our meetings instead of just us always go to their house. Now, this is the parents who are usually totally against any their children studying the Bible or reading the scriptures or anything. And the mother's the one that was the most Catholic. She wouldn't leave it. And the other day, one of the daughters was telling us that one of their sons had gotten hurt, and the neighbors were telling the mother, this is happening to you because you're getting away from God and you're leaving the Catholic Church and all this. And the lady was inviting her to go study and get back with the Catholic Church with them. And the daughter was telling us that she was amazed that her mother actually defended us instead of go back to the Catholic Church. And she didn't go back. She told her, no, I'm not going to. And like I said, the mother, she seems like she's real hard. She doesn't want nothing to do with it. Yet, she's telling the girls they ought to be faithful, and they ought to do these things, and they ought to do what's right. And to me, it's almost unbelievable. And shortly after they started coming to the meetings, her two little brothers, who every so often would sit in on one of the studies or so, started coming to the meetings also. Now, those two guys, they're not saved yet. They're pretty young. One's 11 or 12, and the other's about nine years old. But they come to the meetings, and they hear the word. And the other day, the younger of the two was asking questions. The sisters always say the older is always asking questions. The younger, he was asking questions, and I had a chance to witness to him. And Arlene witnessed to him. And then I had another chance to witness to him, and then we're getting ready to come up here. But he had some doubts. He had told me that it seems like I asked the Lord to save me. So I kind of wonder, what do you mean it seems like, you know? But I didn't want to confuse him too much, because maybe I just wouldn't understand what it seems like really means in Spanish. But it's a blessing to see those kids interested. There's another man that I had met way back when I first moved to Salamanca. I noticed he had a Bible on his desk, and little by little I'd witnessed to him when I had a chance. He owns a lumber yard, and Ben and I do carpentry, and I'm trying to fix the houses and stuff like that. I'd always drop by from time to time and buy lumber. And I'd witness to him from time to time. And sometimes he'd ask me questions because he was receiving literature from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And to my surprise, one day he showed up and was telling me that these people were coming over to study the Bible with him. And they weren't Jehovah's Witnesses. They claimed to be just Christians. And I figured it must be this group that's there, the Bible Church. But he invited me to go to the meetings or to the studies that were there at his place. I said, well, because you know I study the Bible and I don't want to make it look like I'm against anybody studying the Bible, well, I'll go. I didn't tell him all that, but that's the way I felt. And from time to time, when I was able to, I'd go to the study. And when I wasn't, well, I didn't go. I'd just have to go somewhere else. But little by little, the Bible Church guys dropped him. Why exactly, I don't know. But the Lord opened the door for me to continue studying the Word with him. And not too long ago, he also called on the Lord. He also believed and is saved now. He run the business, and then the way he's set up, he's not in town too often on the weekends, but he said he was going to get to one of the meetings while I'm up here. I hope he does. And, you know, I've been really encouraged recently. I've been seeing that, Jesus said in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, I'm reminded of this verse many times because over where we live, they plant a lot of wheat. And around a month or two ago, it was harvest time. And you see all those fields, and they mow them down. You see those fields, as the scripture says, white unto harvest. And Jesus says here in chapter 4, verse 36, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, I kind of think right now might be harvest time there in Salamanca. And I'm looking forward to getting back there, getting rolling, settled in, so we can get to work harvesting. But you know, if y'all don't pray for us, it's going to be a dry spell. The harvest will already be past, or somebody else will jump to it and beat us Like I said, there's the brethren there from the Bible church that are in that town. I didn't know about them when I moved there. And I ended up running into them, which was an encouragement to actually know there's other believers that aren't really off on their doctrine. But we need prayer. You know, I was sharing with the brethren there in Salamanca the day we left, Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we talked about a time for this and a time for that, a time to separate from the brethren and be sent out, a time to come back and return and be rejoined. But, you know, there's a time to pray. And as the scriptures put it, that's a time that there's no opposite. There's a time to pray and there's never a time to quit praying. It says here in chapter 6, verse 18, praying always, not sometimes, but always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Brethren, that's my desire, that you pray for us, and that we don't quit praying for you either, and that you pray that the Lord give me, as he says here, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which is a great mystery to many. They don't understand it, and I understand why they don't, because they've been blinded just like I was once and just like you were too. But if nobody tells them, how will they ever be unblinded? And you know, that's our job, to pray one for another, to pray without ceasing, praying always. I ask you to continue to pray.